Hello, everyone.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, and welcome to
the show.
Yes, welcome to the show. Once more onto the breach, dear friends, once more. We're back.
Oh, we've got up for some Shakespeare today. Delightful.
Yeah, I know. I went to see that, actually. That's one of the very few Shakespeares I actively went to watch. Was Henry the Fifth. Is that Henry the Fifth? Maybe I've got that wrong. No, I think it is. Where he is that the way he gets the tennis balls and he's like, tennis balls, my liege. And then he goes off to France and then he marries the princess. Massive tangent there. Gosh. Wow. I don't know where I've taken us.
To Agincourt, apparently.
To Agincourt, yeah, that's it. The Battle of Agincourt. Yes, once more to the beach, dear friends, once more. I'm just gonna get it Saturday, isn't it?
Yes, it is Saturday, yeah. We've had a very busy week. Tom's been moving in and out. He's had no Wi-Fi, then he's kind of had Wi-Fi, and then he didn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So we've kind of only just managed to record it on the Saturday, which is new to us.
Yeah, I apologize for the lack of Instagram engagement and the late shows. It has just been, the move has just been a little bit stressful, and it's surprising how a lack of internet can literally hold up your whole life.
Yeah.
Although probably not surprising nowadays, but you know. But yes, all settled, rooms all set up, love the flat, heating's on, finally, and we're all settled in. How are you, Geds?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah, I've had you around my flat most of this week using my Wi-Fi, so that's been an absolute joy. The NHS have finally told me where to go to work.
So where are you based in the vaccination
station for the nation? I am going to be either on Edgware Road, in the Science Museum, which would be exciting, or somewhere in Hammersmith can't remember. Yes. Science Museum, South Kensington.
Science Museum.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Is that near you?
Well, it's near enough, isn't it?
Wow, okay. Well, I'm glad.
Gosh, I feel like we're on the radio. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like we're on the radio this week because we can't see each other this week due to Wi-Fi issues. And we can't see each other. So it's a bit weird. I don't not like seeing your face, Tom.
I can't gauge what you're doing or feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's very strange.
Yeah. Literally, you could be doing absolutely anything right now.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. So this week we have the incredible letter that is
T.
Yes, T, which coincidentally is the letter that my name begins with. T for Tom, or if you replace that M, you get a top. That's what we're looking at this week. Top hat. Everyone is this week's musical.
Wow, that was such a roundabout way of getting there.
Yeah, I know.
I appreciate.
I wasn't really sure what I was doing, but it happened anyway.
You never are, Tom.
No.
I think the day that you're sure of what you're doing is a day that the world should be scared of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. Well, top hat. Top hat. How do you say it? Top hat.
Yeah. No, top hat.
What?
Music and lyrics by Irving Berlin. I've written Breelin here. That's different artists. Book by Dwight Taylor and Alan Scott, the original.
That was that. Whoever that is, Tom, is the person who got to spotlight just a little bit too late and had to change their station.
Yeah. Breelin, damn it. And written, additional plot. And I think, just plot. Matthew White and Howard Jacques. Also directed by Matthew White. And Top Hat.
Yeah,
I thought this was like an old school musical. I mean, it is an old school musical, but I'm surprised that it was only 2011 when it was put to stage.
Yeah, that's the thing that I suppose is interesting about this week, is that we are dealing with a, you know, an RKO classic movie musical from 1935, I want to say. 1935. And yet we're in the position where the world premiere was not even in the West End, but was on a UK tour. It's all very interesting, isn't it? That instead of having a Broadway kind of opening, grand opening, which...
In Milton Keynes, of all places.
Milton Keynes.
I mean, really, that is bizarre.
That is bizarre. It is, although it's a lovely theatre.
I've never heard of a show opening Milton Keynes.
No, a world premiere.
I've never been, I don't think.
You've never been to Milton Keynes? Fair. No, I've been to the Don's football stadium as well.
I worked this day festival there in the bowl, in the Milton Keynes bowl.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like this massive field in the town.
Oh, and it was not a bowl.
It was like an EDM festival.
I was expecting at least
a
stadium.
It's sort of a bowl. It's like a grass bowl. It's like a grassy bowl.
Okay. Fair. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my experience in Milton Keynes. Uh-huh. All the trains were delayed and cancelled, and it took me ages to get back. But that's not, you know, that's just besides the point, really. Top Hat.
I just want to. I don't even think this is the first kind of time that this has ever happened with a Irving Berlin musical, because White Christmas was a film that he wrote that came out a long time ago. And then it was only on Broadway in 2008, I think, which is quite a long time after the film.
Really?
Yeah, because the film came out in 54. Oh my gosh, no, it's exactly the same thing happened. The exact same thing happened, Tom. So with White Christmas, which is my favourite Christmas film by Irving Berlin, the film was 1954, right? But then it got its... It got its world premiere... regionally in America, and then only started by a UK tour again. That one started in Plymouth. So what did you think? What did you think then, Top Hat, the musical?
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, it was daft.
It's daft, isn't it?
So I watched it on... Everyone, you can watch it on BBC iPlayer, the film. You can't watch the actual show. I did try and have a look around, but... it's just daft, isn't it? It's like classic, just rom-commy. Was it screwball comedy they call it?
Yeah.
Kind of farcical, a little bit kind of, you know, dated in the way that he kind of stalks her around town.
Yeah, but he's singing a nice song whilst he's doing it.
No,
so
he's like, oh no, you don't mean no.
No, but like,
let me sing to you really mean yes.
He's singing a nice song about it, so it doesn't matter, does it? Apparently, you know, in these old school musicals, apparently, if you're singing a nice song whilst you're doing it, it's not that stalkerish.
There's a scene on a bench where he is like, "Do you know what thunder comes from?" She's like, "No, I don't." He's like, "It's when a big cloud, goes to a smaller cloud, and nudges her, and then she nudges back, and then he nudges her, and then she starts crying, and then he kisses her."
I know, but it's so cute. That's actually quite cute, though. I think that's quite sweet.
I mean,
the pretense is a bit weird. If they knew each other beforehand, it wouldn't be. It would be less weird, granted. But
But this is after he's driven her basically kidnapped her in a. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you're right. No, you are right. Car. You are right. But if you just take that scene out of context,
it is all just like all right. I appreciate the charm. I know for the time it is charming and it is like there's a certain thing to it. But I don't know. It's just watching like, this now. It's
like, you know, in It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
in It's a Wonderful Life when he's like yeah. doing that whole scene with Mary when he's like, oh, when you look up to the moon, look to the moon, Mary. I'll lasso it for you. I'll bring it down and I'll give it to you. It's just so charming and so sweet in these films.
Yeah, but they knew each other, didn't they?
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, when you take these scenes out of context and you just think about how charming they are, they're so sweet. And maybe this is just a romantic side to me, which doesn't come out very often when it's in terms of like watching these things. But we don't see it. We don't see that kind of stuff anymore, that really charming, overly romantic kind of dialogue, do we? You know, these days we just call it cheesy and it just doesn't really seem to go anywhere. You know what I mean? So with all that in mind then, context-wise, I think we should probably give the listeners the plot they so badly desire.
A little bit of plot goes a long way, a little bit of plot. Yeah, okay, let's do it. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
An American dancer comes to London to star in a show produced by the bumbling Horace Hardwick. Well, while practicing a tap dance, he awakens Dale Tremont on the floor below. She storms upstairs and Jerry falls in love with her, proceeding to pursue her. Jerry's the dancer. Dale mistakes Jerry for Horace, who is married to her friend Madge. Jerry follows Dale to Venice, where she is visiting Madge and modelling gowns of Alberto, a dignified designer. Jerry proposes to Dale, who, while still believing that Jerry is Horace, is disgusted that her friend's husband could do that and agrees instead to marry Alberto. Fortunately, Horace's English valet disguises himself as a priest and conducts the ceremony, meaning it's null. Eventually, Jerry manages to convince Dale, and the reconciled couple dance off into the sunset in love.
Mate, almost perfectly 45 seconds.
Oh, really?
You were 11 milliseconds away from being dead on 4.
Oh my god, that's really good. Dang.
It is good. But also that was basically a hey mate, can I please borrow your homework? Yeah, of course you can, but only change some of the words so the teacher doesn't know that you're copying. Do you honestly believe that a person could mistake a man for another man having met both men when they don't look anything like each other?
Well, does she ever see Horace Hardwick? Because in the film, he goes in a lift and then they never meet. And she goes up to the room and obviously thinks it's his room because she's cooled down. So she thinks he's Horace. And I don't think she ever meets the
But we are kind of...
producer.
But then how does she...
How is she friends with
Madge? Okay, but then it's not very believable.
Madge's
that's the thing.
Husband. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Exactly. And if she's going to mistake him, surely she has to have met him in order to mistake him for him. So not very believable. I don't really. The whole premise of this film is boiled down to someone needing to mistake someone for another man. And yeah, I don't find that very believable.
The reviews of the show were very... They love the music, but they said the book is daft and the plot, for want of a better word, doesn't bear too much close inspection.
Yeah, I mean, we are being a bit too pernickety here, though, because, like, I mean, any musical theatre show, the plot is wacky. I mean, you can boil down any show and it just feel weird. I saw a Twitter thread that I think Suze Kempner, who's a comedian, she retweeted about, how can you boil down plots to make them sound silly? And you don't have to try that hard, you know.
Maybe we're being
a bit pernickety. But and in 1935, I suppose that was actually probably quite a good fun way to write a film, to be fair.
Well, it's just like Anything Goes is, if you know, if you think about that too much, you get a headache.
True. You are right. Just gotta suspend yourself in disbelief, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Got to believe in the world that they've created.
Yeah.
I too really enjoy it. I have such a soft spot for the RKO MGM movie musical. I don't know what it is, but regardless of how silly they may be and how, I don't know, ridiculous the characters might be, and sometimes probably just a bit on the edge of being slightly not great, they just put a smile on your face.
Yeah, it's charming. It's all charm. And also, you just don't get like dance musical films like that anymore. I mean, you barely get dance musicals.
No, I suppose the closest we've got was La La Land, isn't it?
I was going to say, yeah. Which was very good at kind of being an homage to all of those films. I rewatched that the other day because when I first saw it, I wasn't fussed. I was kind of like, oh, I don't really get what the hype is. And then I think I rewatched it during lockdown. I really enjoyed it.
That we'll talk about this later maybe, but just how every song has a dance break.
I love it.
Single song.
I love it. Yeah. Also in the film he's like,
you just don't
the first
get that
time
anymore.
You meet him, he just starts singing in the bedroom and then to this guy, this producer, and then he just starts he's not just like tap dancing like cash. You know, like cash, like a bit of Gene Kelly. Mm. I've seen some Gene Kellys where he's kind of like casually tap dancing in the street. It's all very cool, very fluid. Fred Astaire, like the first number is like absolutely hammering the floor. And like, he looks like, you know, he's just had like 5 bottles of Lucozade and he's just darting around the room. And obviously that's because he has to wake her up downstairs. It was such a, you know, intense way to introduce a character. Just have them start tapping on your screen at full volume. Yeah.
But it is amazing though. I mean, Fred Astaire, watching him dance it's just incredible. It is just incredible. And I remember watching Tom Chambers on Strictly Come Dancing. Because he, to be fair, I remember him, because he won Strictly Come Dancing when he was on it. And to be fair, he was actually really good. Like, he actually was. It would have been very interesting watching him tap dancing or dancing or trying to emulate Fred Astaire in what is basically Fred Astaire's like most iconic role. And during Strictly Come Dancing, I can't remember who said it, but one of the judges compared him to Fred Astaire. You know, it would have been interesting.
Time for this week's quiz. This week's quiz is called Putting on the Quiz. Okay, so
bum 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 bum. Putting on the quiz.
What are the scores on the doors? Everybody's wanting to know. Getty, you've got 30. You've got 30, Getty. And I have 24. Not a bad score, but I want more.
Yeah? Okay. Well, I'm ready, mate. I'm ready. I've got my top hat, putting on my white tie and brushing off my tails, and I'm ready for this week's quiz. Mm. How about you?
I am putting on the quiz. Sorry. I didn't have a pun, so yes. Well, hopefully it won't be better luck next time. For me.
And maybe instead of
put all my eggs in one basket.
No, but hopefully what you can do is make sure that you, instead of becoming neck, what do you call it? Neck.
What's happening?
Wait, hang on. I've forgotten that phrase. What is it?
Neck and neck. Neck and neck.
Neck and neck. Yeah. So instead of it being neck and neck, you want it to be cheek to cheek, Tom. That's what you want. You want to get on there.
Well, let's face the music, eh? And quiz. So
yeah, let's do it. Well, let's, mate, you can't brush me off, so let's
yes.
Well, look, Tom, I want you to know that outside of that, I love you. That's just that's actually,
I was gonna say that. Isn't that funny? I'm wild about you.
Oh, Tom, you're just easy to quiz with. It's just true. You really are.
Isn't it a lovely day to be caught in a quiz?
Okay, oh mate, we need to stop this now.
We need to start the quiz, okay. I think.
Yeah, I think we do. Okay. Okay, that's enough of the overture.
Oh, very good.
Thanks. But okay, no, seriously, here we go. So am I asking you first, or are you asking me first? So instead of a quiz this week, that was just 3 minutes of us punning.
No, it's puns.
that was the new section of the podcast. Punning on the Ritz. All right then, Tom. Here we go. Question one. On what date did the second UK tour commence from the new Wimbledon Theatre?
On what date did the new Wimbledon... It was the 13th to the 31st of March, because I remember, because it was a very short tour. Where it was like, it was only, I think it was only 2 weeks. It was very bizarre, wasn't it?
I have no idea what you're on about.
Huh?
The second tour was from the 12th of August 2014.
Oh no, I thought you were talking about the second pre-West End tour.
Oh, I apologize. Which well, you can have the point. Yes, you can have. Sorry, yes, you. Oh, I meant you yeah. No, much. You can have the point. You can take the point. Correct. No, fair play. Fair play. Fair play.
Isn't that weird though that they did that?
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
For 2 weeks.
Don't know why.
Maybe they were waiting for the theatre. Maybe it wasn't quite ready. So they wanted to get some buzz going.
True. I suppose so.
Because when did it open? It opened... So it was, that was 31st of March in 2012. That stopped. And then it opened in April 19th. So it's not long. It's not a big gap.
No, that isn't long. That is so strange.
Okay. Your first question.
Go on then.
In which television show did the musical feature in 2013? Sorry, television documentary, I should say. That's not well worded.
Wait, sorry, say that again. So...
In which television documentary did the musical feature in 2013?
Oh, do you know what? I've got no idea. So I'm going to say that it was in the documentary History of the Musicals on Channel 4.
No. Well, you got the channel right, but it was actually called The Sound of Musicals.
The Sound of Musicals, that's what 4. It was called.
Oh. Yeah, close though, close. Because the reason
I didn't even know that as
that
a
was
fact,
like such but... a popular show.
Mate, it was such a good
documentary.
I loved
that show. I watched that at uni.
Yeah, it was such a good documentary. I got it mixed up with...
He was on it, talking about when they won the Olivier, and then he had to go and tell them they were going to close. And it was all it was really hard to watch.
Yeah, I remember that actually. Yeah, now, but I got it mixed up with the other one that was on BBC Four relatively recently, the History of Musical Theatre, whatever that one was called. Do you remember that was the one?
I think
that's
that was
the one with Rob
called,
Houchin singing Maria
the
on.
The Sound
it.
Of Musicals as well.
Was
that
it?
Was called The Sound of Musicals as well? Yeah, and it was with Neil Brand.
Yeah, Neil Brand. Yeah, MD.
They both had the same name. It was really weird.
Yeah,
was that the one Rob
Houchin
was in, or was he in the Channel 4 one?
Yeah, that's the one that Robert Houchin was in singing Maria.
Okay.
The Neil Brand one.
Because I remember watching that as well. Maybe I watched, but I must have watched both.
I definitely watched both.
I am doing a podcast about them.
Yeah. It wouldn't be too far from what they think, what the listeners
shock
think
horror.
Those are personalities.
I've watched
yeah, sure.
two documentaries on musicals. Wow.
Oh, I was so close.
Interesting. Your next one's quite easy, though, by the way. Your next question's very easy.
Your next one is actually really hard, and I'm sorry. But it's really interesting. Okay, well, I am really sorry, but it's just like, I didn't think you'd ask it, and I want to talk about it, so...
Right,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Sorry.
Go on.
Okay, so, question number two. We all know that Irving Berlin wrote the music to... Top Hat. But who is it that actually wrote the music?
I do know this. Oh, is it? It's not.
Go on.
It's not. Is it Max Steiner?
Oh.
Is it Max Steiner? No.
I'm going to give you...
I wrote that down because I was watching the film and it's on the credits.
Right. Okay. Now, I could give you half a point, but it's not really the question I asked because I'm just proud of you for knowing that it was Max Steiner. That's great. So Max Steiner was like the music supervisor for the orchestrations. But the guy wrote the guy who wrote the music was a man called Hal Bourne, who was Fred Astaire's rehearsal pianist. And the reason that I asked that question is because Irving Berlin couldn't read or write music. And the only way that he could make out tunes is that he had a specially designed piano, right, that transposed keys automatically for him so that he could do the tune and then someone else could actually write it down for him.
Really?
Cool, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so he can't write music?
Nope.
Yeah, I think I have heard that, but they told us that at GSA.
For Top Hat, that was a man called Hal Bourne. And interestingly, I don't think he had a special piano, but Mel Brooks is exactly the same. Mel Brooks can't read or write music, and he would just, I believe, he had to sing the tunes at someone who wrote down everything for the producers and Young Frankenstein.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? He just sang the songs and they wrote music to it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would be like me going, like, I don't know, I've got a road mic in my hand, and I don't really understand how I'm gonna put it down without looking like a clown. Oh, come on, come around. It'd be like that. And someone just goes, yeah, okay, I'll write that down.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's genuinely
You're
exactly
joking.
What happens. So he would hum the tunes, and someone would then figure out everything else on top.
Wow.
Right?
Apologies to everyone for that weird outburst, but I just wanted to check that's exactly what you meant. I can't believe
that.
So maybe I don't need any composers anymore. Maybe I can just sing stuff for people.
Well, no, yeah, you could do, but I mean, yeah, you would still need, obviously,
I'd still need someone to do
point.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, that wasn't that much of a tangent because Mel Brooks does use Putting on the Ritz for Young Frankenstein.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Young Frankenstein.
And I can never hear that song normally ever again. Even in Top Hat. I was just expecting the Frankenstein's monster to turn up and go, Putting on the Ritz. Putting on the Ritz.
So, okay, Getty, your second question. Your second question. Easy one for you.
Okay.
Which company produced the musical?
Kenny Wax Entertainment?
The stage run. Yeah. Yeah, Kenny Wax.
Cool.
Easy one for you there.
Thanks.
Easy one for you. Well, I was just like, I was struggling for questions this week, you know? I really was.
Yeah, me too, actually. Because
it was quite hard.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to do too much on the film because I felt like that's not what we're doing. But
no,
in a way, the musical, there wasn't really much on it.
Yeah.
Did you watch the film?
I have seen the film, but a long time ago.
Just kiss.
Yeah. I went through a little bit of a Fred Astaire watching phrase. I watched that and Holiday Inn as well, which is remarkable because Holiday Inn is just White Christmas. It's the same film, but just with different people.
It's the same thing.
Basically, yeah. it's basically shot for shot the same film. But yeah. So Tom, your final question. This is also an easy question. But here we go. Other than an Olivier Award, what other award did the production of Top Hat win?
It won the Evening Standard Best Night Out Award.
It did,
right?
Best Night Out.
That really jumped Best out at me.
Me too. I've never even heard of that award.
On these, on the podcast.
Yeah.
Is that still so a thing?
No, I don't think so. I've never heard of it.
I think it stopped. Oh. Last award in 2019. Oh, maybe that's because of COVID, though.
Oh, yeah. Fair. Oh, gosh. Okay, then then it is a thing. Yeah, it just probably managed is, to never hear of it.
Best play, best actress, best music. Yeah, it must be, because I've seen it on people's Instas. Most controversial play they have an award for.
Oh.
Wow.
Interesting.
I don't see Best Night Out, though. Maybe that's been retired.
Hmm.
It's a bit random.
Too many good nights out. They're done. They're tired.
Yeah. They're putting up their feet.
It's my final question now. Come on, son.
Oh, yes. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Who won the Olivier Award for the best costume for their work on the show?
You've asked me a name one.
I know, it's annoying, isn't it?
I know his name's John. John Morrell? Norrell? Porrell? One of them? Help?
Well, pick one.
John, what sounds feasible? John Morrell.
Okay.
John Norrell? John Norrell. Is it really?
John Morrell. Yes, it is. So, best costume, the show does look great. It does look
doesn't it?
From what I can tell.
Looks pretty beautiful.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because the film's in black and white, so it's quite interesting seeing this all in colour.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true, actually. I didn't even put that together, but you're so right. That actually is really interesting. Although, to be fair, top hat, white tie and tails, that is just black and white. But the other stuff, you're very, very right about.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is a bit of a imagination there. That you gotta put colour to the... Basically, you're colouring it all in, aren't you?
Yeah, it's like a Wizard of Oz moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Ring. Lovely. I love the dress she's wearing on the poster. It's amazing.
Oh, the pink one. Frills. Yeah. Oh, this is the thing. I do love these types of musicals, man, when they used to just be grand and big and colourful. And, you know, that's the thing. It was all very big and colourful, even though they knew that they were showing it in black and white. What's the scores after that then, Thomas of the Ling?
So you're on 32.
30 to 24. So I'm on 32.
You're on, and I'm on 26 and a half.
Oh, there you go. You brought it back a bit.
What's your favourite song and why?
So, Tom, what's your favourite song, son? Come on, tell me.
What's happening? My favourite song is Top Hat, White Tie and Tails.
Don't blame me.
Top Hat, White Tie. The thing is with these songs, because I'm maybe slightly ignorant to the music side of things, they all sound sort of in a similar vein. But there was something about this one that just made me... It was the rhythm to it. Yeah, how does it start?
I just got a dum bum dum ba dum bum 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 ba. That bit. That was really out of tune, but the rhythm. I'm trying to do the rhythm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it is. I just got really an invitation rhythm. Through the mail.
And I love the... Invitation in the mail. Yeah, I don't know, out of all the songs that were in the film, that's the one that really made me kind of sit up and go, oh,
yeah,
this is cool.
Yeah.
And also in the film, obviously, it's like this huge, what we were just saying earlier about, you know, how you don't really get them anymore. That's the moment in the show, which is like a huge tap and dance number where he comes up. It's really cool. He comes up. Like there's all these guys in, obviously, tailcoats, white ties, top hats, and they're all dancing, and then they make this like V shape, and he comes up and he comes through, and it's just so cool, you know. It's so epic in so many ways. that you just don't. It's just weird. It's like, you just don't see that anymore.
No,
do you, really?
You don't.
Also, just the fact that you've got a bunch of blokes, like, without, I don't know how to put, phrase this, but it wasn't like, that was just what films were. You know, people didn't think that was like, you know, feminine or whatever to dance like that. That was like cool. These people were like stars.
Yeah.
You know, these were like the James Bonds of their generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And like going back to the beginning of the song, like I think it's what Irving Berlin does so well, because he does it on Putting on the Ritz as well. Like that real interesting rhythm stuff, like the way he emphasizes words, the way he syncopates rhythms, it's so interesting. And I think I'm putting on the Ritz, it kind of gives you that kind of a weird swagger, you know, like you're walking down the street kind of just humming this song and wanting to do this really cool thing like putting on the Ritz. But then here at the beginning with the way he does all the rhythms, it kind of really like makes you excited, doesn't it? It's actually really well written. Like the beginning is like bam 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 ba-ba-dum ba-da-dum ba-da-dum ba-da-dum. You know what I mean?
So it's unusual.
Just so interesting, like the way it rises and falls, and it keeps you on the edge of your seat musically. That it then leads into this big epic song where, like, yeah, it's just great. It is just a really cool song. And yeah, I just wish, mate, it's so hard because like shows just aren't going this way anymore and you tend to not see it. And the last thing I saw that did it live was probably American in Paris, but obviously that's not a new musical, but they redid it a few years back. And Stairway to Paradise, you know, when he's walking down that stairway and all the lights are going and it's Art Deco set, so cool. And he's got his, mate, yeah, it's just all of that is so great. But in this, yeah, Top Hat, White High, hello. Top Hat, White Tie,
white
and
high.
Tails. yeah, it's good. And it just matches the song, doesn't it? You know, you feel the song sounds like you're putting on a top hat, you're putting on a white tie and your tails and you're feeling grand.
Yeah, you're feeling your best.
Exactly. Oh, it just puts a smile on your face. This is what I was saying earlier. Just even thinking about it, just puts a smile on your face, these old songs, man.
It's like escapism almost, isn't it?
Fantasy type stuff.
Just escape into this world where things are just, there's nothing really wrong. You just kind of, all that matters is a guy and a gal trying to fall in love.
Oh, that was so poetic, Tom.
Was it? Really?
I don't know. But no, I agree with you. It's a great song.
Any other honourable mentions? I mean, I have to say Cheek to Cheek.
Oh, well, this is the other thing about this show. It has a couple of the big ones, you know, in, doesn't it? Putting on the Ritz. So, right, now Putting on the Ritz could easily be my favourite.
Let's Face the Music and Dance.
Yeah, Let's Face the Music and Dance. Putting on the Ritz could be my favourite, but it's kind of what I was alluding to earlier, if you kept it in, which is it being used in Young Frankenstein has not ruined the song for me forever, because I love Young Frankenstein and what it does.
Oh, yeah.
But now, whenever it comes on, I just hear a Frankenstein monster coming in at some point, and I can't not hear it. So by that, I mean, slightly isn't the same to me anymore since watching that. I do like "Isn't This a Lovely Day to Be Caught in the Rain."
I did
a lot.
Oh, I was going to say that was the other one that was. I think it's because you know, Putting on the Ritz, Face the Music and Dance, Cheek to Cheek, I've heard all of these out of the show. So the ones that really stood out for me from the show were Isn't It a Lovely Day to Be Caught in the Rain and Top Hat. Mm.
Well, the reason I like it,
they were just the ones that I was like, oh wow, okay, I wish I was sort of surprised that they weren't also as popular.
Yeah, anyway. Well, the reason I like it is because can pretty much summarized in the bit when it goes, you know, when the and the rain pitter patter, that line, because like he does that really cool thing of word painting, so it sounds like rain pitter pattering when he sings it. Which is so cool. It's just a small detail, but it just, it's so lovely. And, you know, really captures your imagination. And then I like it because in the beginning of You're Easy to Dance With, which is Dale's song, she sings that line before it goes into her song. And the rain pitter patter line, she sings it. But that time it's with like a luscious strings background. And it's quite cool because what we were talking about earlier with the dancing and how they come together slowly throughout. You know, that shows that musically they're also coming together, after the whole rain incident, when they first danced together. And I just think that's really cool and smart. And I just wish, I don't know, I just don't think composers, all of them at the moment, think like that anymore. That really intricate, small detail, you know, integrated way of kind of showing relationships, not just in book and lyrics, but also in the music. So I'm a big fan of that. Well, here we go then. Everyone's favorite segment. It's stage fright. And again, we thought we'd be closer to home this week. And we haven't heard from Tom in a while. So this is going to be exciting. So Tom, please tell us a stage fright story of yours that is going to make us all fall on the floor laughing.
Well, I mean, I hope... Well, it's more just really cringy.
Oh, is it? Oh, no, I hate cringy.
Yeah. But that, you know, that's essentially 90% of my life. So so strap in. exactly. Well, there you go. There's a bad example.
This is true. This is true.
So we were doing, my school were, they were kind of weird because they had an incredible music department, but they didn't do any like musicals except for Les Mis. But apart from that, it was kind of, there wasn't any big, I was there for 6 years and we didn't do like a big musical. We only did Les Mis in my, I think, last year. But what we did do was these cabaret things where we did like... We did like, you know, 70s or 60s or, you know, songs from that era. And one of them was basically songs from film.
Right.
And I decided to do Another Way to Die. The Jack White and Alicia Keys.
Quantum of Solace.
Song. James Bond. With our friend Emily Anderson and we, and I.
Indeed.
And we were doing a duet. And you know, it was really these were really well attended. Everyone got a bit drunk, and it was really fun. And you know, your parents were there. But
we went to one, didn't we? Didn't we go to one?
Yes, I think we did. Yeah, we did. Yeah, and it's a good laugh. Like you just sit on a table and drink loads of wine and watch people sit. And you know, the standard performances were great.
It was especially good night. Yeah, it was a good night.
A lot of the sick formers got involved, and you know, the people playing were from sick form. We're like obviously going to uni to do music and stuff, so everyone could play really well. Anyway, so we've been rehearsing the song, and you know, it's quite a cool song, you know, quite a bit of rock and roll, a bit of like, you know, and there's a bit of like kind of chemistry on the stage and stuff, bit of electricity. So I'm anyway, on the second night, it was quite funny because all the rugby boys came. Right. I say the rugby boys, they were my mates as well, but like they all sat on like the front row. And I always found it a bit like, you know, it was classic. Like I used to play rugby a lot, but then I sort of moved to drama and so they were all my friends, but I always felt a bit like, okay, well, I need to prove to them that this isn't like, you know, I don't know, stupid.
No, I get you.
You know, you get what I mean.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm like, right, okay, well, I'm singing a really cool song from a Bond film, so I've already got points.
Yeah.
So I just need to like walk out there and absolutely smash it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I walk out, and Emily obviously starts the song as Alicia Keys. She's like, "No, you know, it's really cool." And I'm standing there with my like sunglasses on, like in these like tight jeans, like, you know, kind of rock, like bop into the side, like kind of like looking just over everyone's heads, like really. I'm probably pouncing. Like properly pouncing, like looking over at her, like giving her a nod, like and then literally it comes to my thing, my mic, and I grab the mic ready to sing, and I start singing, and the mic is off. The whole mic is off. I'm singing like nothing's coming out, so it just looks like I'm miming. The whole of the front row, all the rugby boys burst into laughter, and then I'm running around the stage trying to grab a mic, singing like so. All you keep hearing like me running past like the guitar mics, and you just keep hearing, "No, I'm a sweep, singing, Your Majesty." Running around, literally running around the stage, yes. And then running. I ran off stage to try and get like a spare mic, and then I run on with this cable. The cable gets a little bit tangled up on like all the cables on the stage, basically, all I got was the end of the verse, me going, "No, mother." For a ticket time, you know, and then park in the motion, and then I'm going park on the bike, and then the whole song was just ruined, and I remember just walking off, just going, I'm never singing again, and the whole front row were just laughing. I think my dad was laughing at me as well. I could see him in the background.
Goodness.
And I just literally, it was so funny because I went from the coolest man in the room to literally like a flailing flannel. In the space of like 20 seconds, like a duck that had just, you know, like a duck when they're trying to learn to fly and they're like flapping about.
Yeah,
that was just me running back and forth across the stage, tripping over wires. No. So that's it. It was incredibly embarrassing. And I looked over at the sound guy. Actually, this is a teacher as well. But I remember so clearly just staring at him going, I hate you.
How do I not know this story? How do I not know this story?
Well, it turns out all I had to do was switch it on.
No way.
Yeah, all I had to do was switch it on. It was off.
No. Yeah, well that's not your fault. I mean, we are.
No, it wasn't. And he was flailing in the back. He was also flailing, going, other mic. That's when I was running around stage. Well, he was like, Doing these hand signals at me.
Yeah, Tomo, that's the thing, mate. Like, at the end of the day, we're always told as professionals, you know, don't touch the mic. Never touch the mic. That's just number one. So it's not your fault that it wasn't turned on, really. But, I mean, if you knew that you had to turn it on, then that's...
No, I didn't. Well, okay. Emily came on and just sang.
Of course.
The worst thing was, I literally stood... I was on stage for... a whole verse and a bit of
and
a
you
chorus,
could have just checked
just standing
checked.
There going like
if you weren't feeling yourself so much, you would have been able to check the microphone.
Yeah. So I'm trying really hard not to go right or okay.
Yeah, I know. Also,
can you tell?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Thanks for coming, everyone.
thanks for coming. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, you can email us. showshowpod@gmail.com. Give us a follow, show_show_pod. We are on Twitter and Instagrams.
We are.
And give us a 5-star review if you're listening as well. And please tell your friends, spread the word. If you're enjoying the podcast, tell all your friends and family. If you know anyone who likes musical theatre or just likes a good old laugh on a podcast, please do spread the word. We've got some very exciting things coming your way
in the not so distant
future. This week is going to be quite exciting.
Yes, this week is incredibly exciting, and we cannot wait at all. I'm very excited. Are you very excited, Tom?
I'm absolutely. bit nervous, but also very excited.
A bit nervous. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess I've been Tom.
And I guess I've been Geddy.
And I guess that was Top Hat. I guess goodbye.
Goodbye.